Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Really, what a privilege to share God's word. And so what we're going to do, we're going to start off by reading out of Psalm chapter 27. We're going to actually read the whole of Psalm chapter 27, which is what we're going to be focusing on this morning. But this is not just words out of an old book. This is the word of God. These are God's words, and they come alive. They're active. They change us. They lead us. They guide us. They transform us. So let's open up our hearts and our minds as we come before his word. It's going to come up on the screen. I'm reading out of the NIV translation. It's an amazing psalm. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for while false witnesses rise up against me, sprouting malicious accusations." Then verse 13 has to be one of the greatest declarations in the Bible. There's many of them, but there's one of them. "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for Lord." What a great psalm, man. Profound. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much for your word, and we're just humbling ourselves before it this morning, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you'd speak to us, that we won't only be hearers but doers of your word, God. We've come to sit under its authority this morning. We're grateful that you've given it to us. Let us be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can take your seats. Thank you so much, worship team. Psalm chapter 27. Well, we are in week 2 of a 4-part series on the book of Psalms. It is an incredible, incredible privilege to share God's word with you this morning. And last week, we looked at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 is an incredible introduction to the whole book of Psalms. It is... it's just amazing, amazing. But Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 3 in particular, lays out this foundation and talks about two types of people. And the one type of people build their lives on what they think is right, and the other type of people build their lives on the word of God. And it has two different outcomes. But listen to the promise of those that build their lives on God's word. And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 3. This is what we spoke about last week. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. who meditates, who takes delight in God and thinks about him, meditates. And so last week we spoke about how that word meditating is not Eastern religion form of meditation where you're emptying your mind. It's actually to fill your mind. And it's the same word that we get the word murmur from. Often the word murmuring is often a negative thing where we're talking under your breath negatively. But actually, here we're supposed to be talking under our breath about the word of God. Like, that should be on our lips. God is good. He's amazing. He's got this. He can do this. And so the conversation that we're having with our hearts, that internal conversation that is running through our minds all the time, should be God's word. And if it is God's word, then we will prosper in all that we do. And we will live a blessed life. That's incredible. What an opportunity. And so we need to make sure that we're changing that internal conversation inside of us, that we're taking God's word, we're knowing it, and we're applying it to our lives. Whatever we do will prosper. Yesterday, Marinette shared also from the book of Psalms, and she spoke from Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, and she spoke about how if we delight ourselves in the Lord, God gives us the desire of our hearts, how we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. And she mentioned how so often we can come to God wanting things. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And it's completely okay to ask God for things, but we need to come before God to delight ourselves in him, that we need to seek him. And Psalm chapter 27 carries on this theme, carries on the theme of seeking the Lord and delighting ourselves in God. Now, what I love about Psalm chapter 27 in particular, David wrote this. David didn't write all of the Psalms, King David, but he did write about half of them. And this is one of David's Psalms, chapter 27. And we get a picture into what Psalm chapter 1 was speaking about, the murmuring. And he almost shows us what we should do as we get a view into his murmurings. And he writes Psalm chapter 27, not as a psalm to you or to me, but we're very grateful that we've got it. He's actually writing it to himself. He's writing this song to sing to himself, to help himself murmur the things that he should be murmuring while he's going through a very, very difficult time in his life. We know from history that he was being chased this way and that way, and the king at the time was trying to kill him, and he was hiding in a desert and hiding in a cave, and he had a lot of enemies surrounding him, very real enemies, not just imaginary ones. And he writes this Psalm, chapter 27, and it's incredible. Now, he also shows us what we should do in the face of fear. And a lot of us are facing challenges. It's easy for fear to grip our hearts. We have fear about the future, fear about our finances, about our family, about our health, fear about what lies ahead. But what do we do with all of that? Well, the good news is that Psalm chapter 27 tells us what to do. So let's read from verse 1 again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? When wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, I will remain confident. Now remember, he's not writing this for you and for me. He's actually writing this. He's speaking to himself. He's having a conversation with himself. But I love the way that he starts off. He starts off by saying, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. The Lord is my light. Light gives direction. Removes darkness. Ever felt in like you're in a dark space? Don't know what to do? The Lord is my light. He's the one that removes darkness from my lives. He's my salvation. He is my salvation. David was a very accomplished warrior. He won many very large battles. But here his confidence is not in himself. His confidence is in God. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. He's my fortress. Our security is not in our circumstances. He is my stronghold. My security is not in my bank balance or in a better, great political future for South Africa, which we want. Doesn't mean we're ignoring problems. We're very aware of the challenges that we're facing. We're not keeping our head in the sand and pretending like they don't exist. But we face those challenges, those very real enemies, confident in God. He is our fortress. He's our fortress. One of the famous battles that David won was when he faced this guy, this giant Goliath. We're not sure exactly how old David was. Most theologians think he was around 14 years old, young. Wasn't certainly not fully grown yet. And he goes to this battle, and he's not even supposed to be in the army. He's going to go bring some food to his brothers. And all the army are there, the Israelite army, these famous warriors are there, but they're all hiding because this giant Goliath is coming out and he's taunting the armies of God. He's teasing them and they're all hiding away. And think about that. Why were they hiding? It's because fear had gripped their heart. They were looking at Goliath, this massive man. And then they were looking at themselves. And I think the more they looked at Goliath and the more they looked at themselves, they're like, he's so big, I'm so small. He's so big, I'm so small. And fear gripped their hearts and they were hiding. They forgot who their God was. They forgot the promises of God. But David seemed to have a different view. And a large part of it was actually what was going on in Psalm chapter 27. This internal conversation that David was having was different to what everybody else was having. And that's why he could face Goliath with confidence, not in himself, but confidence in God, because he's reminding himself that God is my light. He's my salvation. He's my fortress. So I'm guessing what David was doing, he was looking at Goliath and not looking at himself. He was looking at Goliath and looking at God. And looking at Goliath and looking at God, he's like, you're pretty small in comparison to my God. And so you're going down today, not because I'm big, but because he's big. And when we have that conversation, that internal conversation, when we know the word of God, reminding it, and we're murmuring God's word over and over and over, no wonder Psalm chapter 1 says, whatever you do will prosper. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Why? Because people that are not following God are not building their lives on the promises of God. We're allowing the wrong murmurs of our heart to get a grip of our hearts. That doesn't mean that our emotions aren't real. They are real. Doesn't mean our enemies aren't real. They are real. Real enemies. David was facing real enemies, real problems. But he kept on looking to the Lord. That internal conversation changed who he was. He focused on God. And his life had a very, very different outcome. And that's the promise and the invitation that we have. Psalm chapter 27 is incredible. It's an amazing, amazing psalm. Let's jump down to verse 4. Verse 4 says this. Verse 4 to verse 6. It says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and I may gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. One thing I ask. David was single-minded in his pursuit. Single-mindedness is this one thing. Now, I love the fact that we have these 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we're trusting God for different things. But ultimately, the reason why we're fasting is it's not for many things. The actual reason why we're fasting is one thing, that we may know God better, that we may grow closer to him. We're trying to get rid of distractions, get rid of things that we really like, that we really need. Because actually what we're saying is, God, I actually don't need those things as much as I need you. God, I need you. I need you. If you haven't yet joined us in the fast, join us. You can fast different things. Do something that takes away your attention and maybe something you really like, and just say, God, I'm focusing on you. God, I need you, God. This one thing I'm asking, because if we've got God, we're okay. If we grow in our relationship with him, we are okay. That I may dwell in your house. That I may gaze, like that God would fill our gaze. What an incredible passage. When we fast, we get to quiet those distractions. We make space for the Lord in our lives. We start to discover that his strength is actually enough. Verse 7. When you're reading Psalm 27, it goes to these things as declaration in the beginning. God, you are my salvation. You my light. You my fortress. And then he says, God, I want this one thing I want is to know you and to seek you. And then verse 7, the tone, the way that he's speaking, the song that he's singing changes, and we start to get a glimpse of what is actually going on. Almost like you can hear the fear in his voice. You can hear the fear in his writing. His prayers sound desperate. Listen to what he says. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. God, my Savior. You can hear this prayer, this desperation. God, God's completely okay when we're honest with him. When we come before him in honesty. But then there's this tone shift. There's this declaration. And he comes to verse 13. And he decides to declare something boldly over his life and his future. Now, he's being surrounded by his enemies. Things are not looking good. He's been running. We don't know how long he's been running for, but he's been running. But he makes this declaration. He speaks to himself. And he makes this decision. He said, I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What a declaration. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I think that's a declaration that that probably should be what we're remembering all single day, every single day. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Something goes wrong. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let's say it together. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Say it again, a little bit more confidence this time. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Doesn't mean life is going to be easy, but we have hope, and our hope is in him. And then he goes on, and he tells us how to remain confident in spite of maybe our prayers not being answered straight away. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered straight away. Sometimes our circumstances don't change straight away. But what does change is that internal conversation we're having. That changes. Peace can happen in our hearts even though there can be terrible things going on around us. We can be confident in spite of our circumstances. We can have joy in spite of what's going on. And then he goes on and he says this. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Remember, he's writing to himself. He's singing to himself. He's like, Paul, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. We have to wait sometimes. But what do we do while we wait? While you're waiting for a breakthrough, while you're waiting for circumstances to change? Obviously, we need patience. Here's three things that I think are helpful. The one is to stay in God's presence. Don't withdraw. Like when things are going hard, we need to draw nearer to the Lord, not run away from Him. So I often speak to people when they're going through really difficult times, and often encourage them, like, when you're running towards God, you're running towards the possibility of a miracle. But when you're running away from God, you're running away from a miracle. Yeah, maybe your situation might seem hopeless, but when you withdraw, your situation is hopeless. But when you draw near to Him, you're running towards the possibility of a miracle. And sometimes that's our only option. God, we can't fix this. Only God can fix this. Well, let's run towards where there is a chance that God could fix this. Don't withdraw, draw near to Him. Then stay in God's Word. Let that conversation, that murmuring of our hearts be full of faith. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And last, very, very important, is to stay with God's people. You know, isolation feeds fear. The more we isolate ourselves, it's like fear just seems to grow. But when you're with God's people, people of faith, something happens. I love the fact of that we have small groups in our church. And on Friday morning, I was with one of our small groups with these men of faith. And it was great. Often I go to small groups and I go to encourage people, but I just left feeling encouraged because just the conversation was so God-honoring and it was so uplifting. Rest of Friday, I was like, bring it on. Why? Because with me, God's people. God's people. God's people bring help build faith. So as we progress over the next 21 days or 20 days, just take time to spend time in His Word. Take time to spend time reading and listening, to leaning in. Let that one thing, the one thing, God, I want to draw closer to You. God, I want to gaze upon You. God, I want my picture of You to get bigger and bigger, and my challenges to get smaller and smaller. Almost like over the next 21 days, do you like David was doing, looking at Goliath and looking at the Lord. Looking at Goliath and looking at the Lord. You're pretty small. Let that be what happens over the next 20 days as we gaze at our God, the bigness of who He is. Maybe the circumstances might not change, but like we said, what happens on the inside of us does change. And that's actually what we really need. I love that Psalm chapter 27 tells us that our confidence doesn't come from our circumstances. Doesn't come from our situations changing. Our confidence comes from God, from knowing Him, putting our faith in Him. That's what enables us to walk differently, to think differently, to have peace. Maybe everybody around us can't see why we have peace. How can you just be so calm? That's why we know our God. How can you have peace? Well, we know the one who has peace, and He lives in me. So maybe this week as we're praying, maybe let's start praying, lest God change my circumstances, and start praying more, Lord, let Your presence become my greatest pursuit. Now change me, God. Change me. I want to know You more. This one thing I seek. To be single-minded in the pursuit of knowing God and knowing Him more and seeking Him. Taking, like Marinette shared yesterday, brilliant message, it's available on YouTube. Really go watch it. Delighting ourselves in the Lord. Delight in Him, knowing Him. Because when His presence becomes that one thing, fear loses its grip, problems seem to get a lot smaller, and our future looks a whole lot brighter. God is our light, He is our salvation, and He is our fortress. When we focus on Him and not on ourselves and not on our problems, hope rises, faith rises. And we know where there's an atmosphere of faith, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Can you stand with me to your feet? I'm not sure where you are on your journey with the Lord, but what we do know is that sin separates us from God. Sin is a barrier, and sin are things that we do that God is not pleased with. And all of us do things like that. Things that we, maybe it's your thought life, maybe it's big things that we do, maybe it's small things that you do, but all of our sins actually cause a barrier between us and the Lord. But God made it possible for us to be forgiven for our sins. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you thought, no matter the mistakes you've made, God comes and He forgives us of all of our sins and He makes us into a new creation. Not only does He do that, but then He comes to live inside of us and He gives us the power to overcome sin. So we wouldn't just live a life as forgiven sinners, but we live a life that is victorious over sin. Those things that are holding us back from our future, God's grace comes and lives inside of us. The Bible says it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that defeated death, that defeated sin, lives inside of us. And we have the ability, not through us or our strength or through our three-step process to becoming a better man or better woman, but through His grace actively at work inside of us and changing our future. And that is all possible because Jesus came and died on the cross. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you can't honestly say that you're forgiven for your sins and that He's living inside of you, then today could be that day where everything changes for you. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask all of us to come before God and close our eyes and let's humble ourselves before God. Lord Jesus, right now we want to thank You so much for Your word. Thank You that it is life. Lord, thank You that we can have confidence in You and in our future because of You, God. But also thank You that You came to forgive us from all of our sins, Jesus. To give us a brand new start. While in this attitude of prayer, while everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus. Or maybe you have, but to be honest, you know that you're not serving Him right now. And you need forgiveness and you need God's power to come and live inside of you to give you the strength to change. If that's you, I'd love to lead you in a very, very simple prayer. So while everybody's eyes are closed and their heads are bowed, could you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? You say, yes, Paul, that's me. Well done, well done, well done. Best decision you can ever make. Well done, well done. You can put your hands down. All those that raise your hands, can you repeat this prayer after me? And would the rest of the congregation pray along as well? Say this, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Today, I give my life to You. Come and live inside of me, God. And change me. I want to serve You, but I need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.